Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Dodla Dairy Q1 FY24 results conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Rico. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to Q1 FY24 results conference call of Dodla Dairy Limited. We have with us senior management represented by Mr. Sunil Reddy, Managing Director, Mr. B.V.K. Reddy, CEO. Now I hand over the call to the management for their initial comments on the quarterly performance. I also congratulate them for an excellent set of numbers in Q1 FY24. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Aniruddha. Hello, everybody. I welcome you all to the Dodla Dairy Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. It's a very good results for us this quarter. Dodla Dairy has surpassed its 8,000 million quarterly revenue milestone for the first time, registering a 14.8% year-on-year growth at 8,234 million in Q1 financial year 2024. But the company's value-added products, or VAP, and fat and fat products sales surged by 12.9% year-on-year to rupees 2,586 million, aided by an extended summer season coupled with diversified product portfolio and a strong brand recall. Dodla's VAP sale contributed to 32% to the overall revenue of Q1 FY24. The industry has already started to experience some benefits of the upcoming flush season of 2023-24, which is likely to see its peak in October or September-October of 2023. Dodla aims to maintain its competitive advantage in the industry with a farmer-centric approach, thrust on quality and innovation, regular capacity expansion plans, and the ability to adapt to the evolving market dynamics, thereby leading the company towards a sustainable growth. Now, taking a glance at the financial highlights for the financial year ended June 30th, 2023, the operating revenues, as I said earlier, stood at 8,234 million in Q1 for the financial year 2024, as compared to 7,170 million in Q1 financial year 2023, this registering a growth of 14.8% year-on-year. The company's domestic business grew by 16.1% year-on-year to 7,628 million, whereas the international business revenue stood at 606 million in the first quarter for the financial year 2024. EBITDA grew by 33.9% year-on-year to reach 603 million in Q1 FY24. EBITDA margins expanded by 104 basis points year-on-year to 7.3%, owing to lower raw material prices around 44 basis points year-on-year and a decline in other expenses by 89 basis points year-on-year. However, employee expenses grew by 29 basis points year-on-year in Q1 FY24. Profit after tax surged by 40.3% year-on-year at 350 million in the Q1 FY24. PAT margin expanded by 77 basis points year-on-year to 4.2% in Q1 FY24. EPS for Q1 FY24 stood at rupees 5.82 as compared to 4.16 in Q1 FY23. Now, taking you through our operational highlights for the year ended 30th June 2023, average milk procurement during Q1 FY24 was at 15.9 lakh liters per day as compared to 14.8 lakh liters per day in Q1 FY23, registering a 7.4% year-on-year growth. Average milk sales during the Q1 FY24 were at 11.1 lakh liters per day as compared to 10.4 lakh liters per day in Q1 FY23, registering a 6.2% year-on-year growth. Curd sales during Q1 FY24 was at 439.7 million tons per day, metric tons per day, compared to 426.3 metric tons per day in Q1 FY23, increasing by 3.1% year-on-year. Revenue from value-added products, including fat and fat-related products, grew by 12.9% year-on-year to 2,586 million in Q1 FY24, vis-a-vis 2,290 million in Q1 FY23. VAP, including fat and fat-based products, contribution stood, as I said earlier, at 32.0% of overall dairy revenue in the Q1 FY24, as compared to 32.5% contribution overall dairy revenue during Q1 FY23. The company is poised for delivering long-term sustainable growth with its robust business model, state-of-the-art dairy plants, diversified product portfolio, and strong balance sheet with net debt-free status, coupled with adequate cash balance for organic and inorganic growth. Lastly, my sincere gratitude to our esteemed stakeholders for their perennial trust on Dodla Dairy's vision. We continue to strengthen our governance framework through the trust on ESG practices. The dairy team will remain committed to supporting its dairy farmers network and fulfill the consumers' health and nutritional needs through our milk and VAP products. With this brief, I will now hand over to our CEO of our company, Mr. BVK Reddy, to take it forward.
Thank you so much, sir. Very good morning to all the participants. We have concluded a healthy quarter and with revenue growth and strong key performance indicators. As stated earlier, we are continuously enhancing our footprints and strengthening our pan-India ambition. As on 30th June 2023, we procured milk around 1.2 lakh dairy farmers daily, of which 89% are provided with a regular direct payment in bank accounts. Our direct procurement model has further strengthened, wherein we are buying almost all the milk directly from the farmers across more than 8,150 villages, as compared, resulting in cost saving and establishment of deep-rooted relationship with them. Dodla Dairy Argo Feed Division keeps supporting agriculture community and the dairy industry. Argo Feed sells its cattle feed directly to the farmers through procurement network, thereby strengthen their relations with the farmers by optimizing livestock health and enhancing the productivity. Argo Feed revenue stood 18 crores in Q1 FY24 with an EBITDA of approximately 2 crores. In terms of our presence, we serve 13 states in India, supported by 15 processing plants with nearly 22 lakh liters daily capacity. We currently have 123 chilling centers and RMRD as on 38th June 23. We have around 594 Dodla retail partners. We also have a strong network of 1,770 milk and milk distributor channel. We have around 2,580 agent networks that are all well established in many areas of the country. Dodla Dairy looks forward to strengthen its grass-to-glass business model, layered with the backward as well as forward integration. Our presence in the entire dairy value chain, including research, procurement and storage, processing, distribution, and cattle feed amplifies the management clear focus on the long-term business vision. Additionally, the company aims to enhance operational efficiencies with automation, digitalization, initiatives and increase the distribution networks, thereby delivering sustainable value to our esteemed stakeholders. That concludes our update on strategy, which we believe has been a positive in most yardsticks. With that being said, I would now like to open the floor for the question answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I have one question. Since the last 2-3 months, we are continuously seeing press notes on fall in milk prices for the flush season, anywhere about 4-5% blended for cow plus buffalo. But when I look at your gross margin, I don't see that flowing through. So just wanted to check on, you know, what's your take on this, and or is it that we have passed on the entire, you know, price benefit on milk that we would have, if we would have gotten. So some color there.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Ritesh, for giving us this opportunity. Yes, milk prices did go down for in certain states dramatically, but certain states were also a little bit holding on. Since we have passed on most of the price increase, like you rightly said, to our customers, we have not taken a very sharp drop in the milk procurement prices, because we think these kind of prices, if we take an opportunistic drop, it will hurt the farmers in the long run, and again we'll see an upswing. We have done what corrections were required from our end, and we are maintaining those corrections. And as and when we find a differential, we will take corrective action accordingly.
I could actually interpret. So you mentioned that you haven't got the you haven't got those price drops, or if you have got the price drops, you have.
But we have not dropped our price. For example, if somebody has taken down the price to 32 or 33 rupees, we are still maintaining the differential of and paying the farmers 34 currently, because we want to see, because for us in terms of profit margin, we are not trying to dramatically drop the same to the farmers, because it will hurt us in the long run in terms of our procurement.
Okay, okay. So then from your opening remarks, you were mentioning about a better flush season. So is it that you anticipate a further drop in milk prices in anticipation of a better flush season? And if it is so, will that flow to your gross margin expansion, or you will take a corresponding product price drop as well? Yes, sir. Were you able to get my question, or should I repeat it?
Yeah, I got your question to the extent of Bitesh, that you were saying that didn't we pass it on to... Did we take the price cut? We have not taken the full price cut. We have just taken a marginal price cut to continue our procurement going forward.
Okay. Now, on your initial comments where you were mentioning about a better flush season, so do you, which means, does it mean that there would be a further drop in milk prices, and will you retain that gross margin benefit, or, you know,
yes,
increment?
We will retain the gross margin benefits, sir. So also that, you know, as we get more and more milk, we have added advantages of, you know, getting additional fat and the SNF that we require. So effectively, our overall cost, by not only by price reduction, but also because of efficiency of milk procurement and other costs of procurement coming down, our gross margins will maintain or improve a little bit further, sir.
Okay, okay. Thank you very much, and all the best to you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Arjun from IntelliCap. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for this opportunity. I actually want to understand the competitive landscape. Let's say, like, there's a lot of milk which is more milk production happening from the farmers. So 25% is organized, 75% is unorganized, according to my understanding. So how is it that the farmers, knowing that you will not reduce your prices, would actually reduce the prices and sell you?
So Arjun, this unorganized, organized, but if you look at the places where we operate from the procurement side, it is 99% organized. So there is, it's, when you look at the overall country statistics, is what people say, that 75% unorganized versus 25% unorganized. But in the southern, I think if you look at procurement and marketing, it's extremely organized, both on both sides of the procurement as well as the sales. So the price differential is basically between all of us as competitors on the village level. And at certain times, when somebody else gives a lower price and you are giving a higher price, just because I can't go and take 20 times the volume, because I will not have the facility to take. So we normally maintain the status quo of our farmers who are giving us, we take whatever they give. We don't try to enroll additional farmers during extreme flush when there's too much of milk coming into the system. We maintain the farmers who are coming to us. Somebody dealing with a commodity might have the luxury of being able to take any amount of milk, because then they can convert it to a commodity and trade as commodity. We, being more focused on B2C, do not do much of commodity trade. So we try to maintain our offtakes and in terms of the farmer production. But that is how we maintain the price, Arjun.
Okay, okay. This is quite detailed. Thanks a lot. My second question is on your net working capital, sir. I mean, when I compare it to some other players in the industry, you've been maintaining it in such a healthy fashion. Could you tell me what different, how how are you different from the other companies who are not able to maintain that kind of a net working capital?
So basically what we do, sir, we are basic, predominantly, like we said, a lot of it is we are B2C, and I think from a lot of time discipline enforced by the team is we do majority of our business with, against cash, even if it is our distributors of trade, even for our products. We are only, we deal with taking cash in advance and then supplying material. The small amount of outstanding that will be would be to certain large entities, like for example, if there is a temple, Devasthanam or whatever, that shows the odd offtake. But that is a discipline we have been enforcing at the cost of maybe at some point of the, sometimes getting rapid growth also. But we rather believe in that disciplined approach of growth. And coming to our own inventory that we handle, it is because, as I said, we are not yet a commodity player selling commodity. We hold inventory only to the extent of what we forecast as our sales and our shortages of requirement for our sales. And that is the reason we have been able to hold our net working capital at a healthy rate, sir.
In that sense, you pay the farmers a little later, or do you pay as you take the milk? How
pay on time with the rest of the people, sir. Once in 10 days, it's all, we pay on time.
15 days.
One last question, sir. This is with respect to Karnataka. Nandini is so aggressive in terms of it, of trying to buy it at a higher price, and we understand the whole competitive scenario there is a little tricky. How is your Karnataka business functioning, and what are the steps you're taking because of the intense competition you get from Nandini?
So BVK will answer this, sir, regarding Nandini and the competition we face in Nandini. We have a substantial business comes from Karnataka, but BVK will explain it to you.
Yes, sir. Sir, this is not new to us since 2000. So we are there in Karnataka, sales as well, procurement. So now see, the procurement side also we are paying on par with the what Nandini is paying. And sales side is, you know, anyhow we have a higher price. So see, our market share is intact.
Hello, I can't hear.
Hello? Mr. Arjun, please stay connected while the management reconnects. Thank you.
Sure.
We have the line connected. So you can go ahead.
So I don't know to where you heard the answer from BVK. Where should we repeat it from?
I just heard that. Could you just repeat the whole thing, because it was just after the 10 seconds the call got cut.
Rudla is operating Karnataka since 20 years, almost 2000 onwards. So we are there in procurement side as well as sales side. So there is no problem, even in spite of giving a lot of incentive to the farmers in Karnataka state by Nandini. So we were able to sell our price, the selling side, comparatively higher selling price as compared to Nandini. And then, you know, that we were able to maintain our numbers.
And procurement, we were saying we pay the same price as Nandini.
Procurement, we are paying the same price what Nandini is paying.
How is it possible? I mean, I'm a little, because
selling price is higher. Selling price is high.
Scale of economy. I'm sorry?
Average selling price.
So I mean, what happens is when we are able to sell at a higher price, because the customer is buying it because of quality, service and other reasons, we are able to have a premium in selling. And that's where we maintain our margins in Karnataka.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Dhruvesh from Prospero Tree. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, in general, can you once again explain the overall subsidy dynamics? Because we hear when subsidy is given, farmer does not really benefit and it is the consumer who gets subsidized. But if you can make us understand the nuances of the same thing, thank you.
Dhruvesh, the subsidy given here is predominantly to the farmer, which means effectively that Nandini's outflow of cash will be less to the extent of subsidy when they're paying to the farmer as procurement price. So what they're doing is when it comes to the selling part of it, they try to keep it at their cost of whatever procurement and try to subsidize that money that the government has given them to pay to the farmer, to the consumer, which will translate to, let's say, a 5 or a 6 rupees differential in the pricing mechanism that they give it to the consumer, which we are able to sell it at a little higher margin than what Nandini is selling. And thanks, also we try to improve our efficiencies and compensate that and keep our margins intact. So that's how we do it. The subsidy flow actually is given to the farmer. For example, every bill that is paid, the government will get a list from Nandini stating that this quantity of milk they have collected from the farmer and therefore they need so much of money, and once whenever the government releases the money, pro rata it goes into the cooperative societies and it's disbursed. We pay the same price without the, what the government is paying, including the subsidies what Nandini is paying, and sell it at the premium with the better, because of efficiency and quality, we are able to maintain our margins.
Okay.
That's
Just one small query here again. So when you say that you pay the same price to the farmer versus that of Nandini, but the farmer at Nandini end will also get additional benefit of subsidy prorated after a period of time. Is that correct?
No, no, not that way, sir. Suppose if there is a price of 10 rupees what Nandini is paying and government gives a 5 rupees subsidy, the farmer is getting paid 15 rupees. We pay 15 rupees upfront. Now the 5 rupees of Nandini they get after maybe a month or 2 months or 3 months is when they get that lump sum of the money from the government and Nandini transfers to them. But sometimes the societies have money with them, which is their margin which they keep having. So society takes the burden of giving that same money to the farmers and collects it from the government later date.
Right. So the current news in the last 1 week where I think it is already approved by 3 rupees, the hike in the consumer prices, this should augur well, very well for us in the sense that whatever little market share we might have lost for the price can be, I mean, our competitiveness increases substantially in Karnataka. Is that correct?
So that, Durvesh, is something that we said we will keep it as a buffer. BVK will explain more in detail now. Go ahead, BVK.
See, they have now taken a call only on selling side. But, you know, if they are going to say that, you know, in buying side also they are going to increase 3 rupees, then in that case, you know, we will also go for selling side, you know, correction. But, you know, if they are not going in procurement side, if they don't increase another 3 rupees only, they keep it only in selling side, then we will keep quiet for some time.
That is for the growth, like you said, to get more growth.
To get more growth.
Perfect, sir. Thanks a lot and congratulations on good set of numbers and the progress. Thank you.
Thank you, Durvesh.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Aditya from SIMPL. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah.
Mr. Aditya, may we request you to please use your handset for optimum audio quality as your line is not clear, sir.
Am I audible now?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, if you could specify the average realization and procurement price for the quarter.
Could you come again, sir? Aditya?
So the average procurement price and average realization for this quarter.
Mr. Aditya, please stay connected while we reconnect the management. Thank you. Mr. Aditya, the management is reconnected. Could you go ahead with your question, please? Could you repeat it?
Yeah, so if you could specify the average procurement price and average realization price for this quarter.
This quarter, sir. This Murli will answer. The average procurement price for standalone and sales realization for standalone will be used.
Yeah, the standalone procurement price is 39.62. for this quarter, and the realization price is 56.54.
That is the procurement price, sir. We'll have a slight difference in terms of raw material and consumption.
Yeah. The consumption of standalone price is basically the consumption is 41.9 because of the quarter-on-quarter stock movement and the single...
Other things are...
Yeah.
And this 39.6, the previous quarter it was 40.1. Am I correct?
Previous quarter was
40.09.
Okay, so we have got a benefit of 0.5 rupees this quarter.
Yes.
Yes.
And is this going to increase in the next 2 quarters as well?
It will maintain the state, or it will go down slightly, sir. Another 50 paisa it should go down. But that will get compensated by our sales overall mix, and because again it's the winter is coming now, ice cream and others, so it will maintain easily the status quo.
Okay, sir. And sir, in the previous cycles, when the procurement prices decrease, so generally do the competition also, competition also take the benefit of this reduced procurement prices, or they pass on the decrease?
It depends on each state. So some states where there is more of the commodity players, they immediately decrease the price dramatically. Places where it's more of a B2C, the decreases are sort of slower, and we go down that dramatically. Only a marginal difference is taken.
Okay, and generally in our majority states like Karnataka and Andhra, what does the generally the competition do?
Karnataka, it will be Nandini so for us majorly, and in Andhra, it is a blend of everybody, all the private sector players, and everybody is there.
Okay. And sir, what is the revenue and EBITDA for the Africa business for this quarter?
Africa business for the quarter, right?
Yes.
Africa business for the quarter, EBITDA in absolute amount is 140 million, and as a percentage, it is EBITDA is at 23.1.
And revenue is?
Revenue is basically 60 crores.
Okay.
600
million.
605 million.
Right. And if I look year on year, so the revenues are flat for our Africa business, but the margins are shot up. So last year it was around 16.7% the margins, and this quarter the margin has shot up to 23%. So any particular reason for the same?
We can answer this, sir, based on why the margin has shot up.
Good. Not the margin, actually.
Margin has gone up, revenue has shot up.
See, since, you know, majority, you know, because we sell in Uganda as well as Kenya. So Kenya in the month of, you know, last June, so they restricted the volumes. Import restriction was there, and they have not allowed the permits. Because of that, you know, the sales volume also has come down. So there's no
But in terms of profitability,
it has gone up.
Gone up because prices in Uganda were lower compared to the previous year.
So will we pass on this benefit of lower procurement price to the customer, or you would like to maintain the margins which we are currently making in the Africa business?
I think this quarter at least will keep the status quo. It will continue to be the same because I think it's now settled down and milk is still coming.
Yes.
The same margin profile and growth profile will be maintained.
Yeah, again, you know, see that the permit started giving again after 1 month. Now this quarter again volumes are going to go up and the same status quo, or further it will improve.
Okay. And what is the current capacity utilization of our garment plant?
Capacity utilization right now of our Uganda will be almost at 75-80% of capacity utilization.
Okay. And we were looking to expand our capacity in Kenya. So what is the status over there?
I think the work is going on, sir. We are expecting to do trial runs in October or so, but we'll be operational by December, sir.
So what will be the capex amount?
We have taken an approval for 40 crores, but it will be way less than that. So at least we should be able to finish between 25 crores or so.
Okay. And there was also an expansion on Orgafeed capacity. So has that expansion been completed?
Yeah, Orgafeed now, in the month of August, end of August, you know, we'll be commencing the production. Almost in the commencing stage.
So which month?
August.
August, okay. And what are the revenue and margins for our Shri Krishna, subsidiary Shri Krishna?
Our revenue margins at the EBITDA level are at
EBITDA is at 8.7%.
And the absolute number is?
In absolute number, it is basically 15 million.
Okay. Thanks. I'll join back in with you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Rohit from iThought PMS.
Hello, sir, am I audible?
Yes, Mr. Rohit, could you please hold the line? The management is getting reconnected. Thank you.
Thank you.
You can go ahead with your question now, Rohit.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So just wanted to understand, now obviously, you've done a very good show in this quarter and you're saying it will continue. But I was just reading that the feed prices are also going up due to erratic rainfall. Just wanted your view, how does that put pressure on the cost? And given that prices have already been increased, so does that leave for us little room to sort of, does that put a pressure on our margins for you in the coming quarters, or how do you view this?
No, so the rainfall has not been that bad as we have seen Delhi and the flooding. It's been reasonably okay for us as of now. So it's basically more in terms of more water availability, and the pricing we are hoping will keep the same trend. It won't dramatically change. The only difference we normally face is because if we have extended rainfall, we take a little bit of a bit on our products like ice cream and other such, like the curd, which comes down a bit. But that is more than amply compensated by own milk procurement increasing and efficiencies of procurement coming up. So we don't see any major change in maintaining the the same trend going forward. So at least for a couple of quarters, there's absolutely no, we don't see any changes.
Okay. Okay. Got it. That's it from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for taking my question. Firstly, on this average realization of 56.54, I believe this is for the blended, including value-added products. Can you give for just liquid milk average realization for the quarter?
Thanks, Sameer. Good morning, Sameer. Murali will give you the realization of milk for the quarter. Go ahead, Murali.
Yeah. So the total milk is basically 55.63. So the breakup is like it includes full-cured milk, cream milk, standard, tone, and double tone. Then value-added products, the average realization price is 58.92, which includes curd, ice cream, and all that other stuff.
Got it. Thanks for that. So one more question, if I may. So in Karnataka, basically, what I hear is that the subsidy was always there, but it was very shabbily implemented. Plus, over the years, there has not been much increase in the outlay. Now, with the regime change in Karnataka, first of all, what has been your experience? Is there a material difference between whichever party comes to power? There is no real meaningful change in the way they operate subsidy, or there is a real risk now that with the change in regime, there can actually be more competitive intensity coming from Nandini in this part?
No, sir. All the regime changes still maintain status quo because the execution agency again remains to be Nandini and the bureaucracy in general. So they maintain the same process and status quo. That is there, nothing much. But as we all know that, you know, if more pressure comes on the treasuries of the respective governments, the payments will be more delayed in terms of the availability of money with the governments. So that is all it is. We have to wait and see if present regime will come under more stress or they will be having more cash, which we cannot judge on. But that's how it normally goes. So status quo will be maintained and no major changes.
Got it, sir. That's all from me. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Aditya Joshi from Alchemy Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thanks a lot for your time. And congratulations on a great set. So firstly, I just wanted to understand why the percentage of VAP sales, the percentage of total has come down a bit versus last summer. Is it just to do with the erratic rain?
More than the erratic rain, sir, our ghee has still not caught on what it was even compared to the last quarter to this quarter because we were running short of fat and we had withdrawn ghee. Now we are actually trying to push more ghee. I'll ask Murali to give you the specs of our the change in the value add from last quarter, previous year on year to this quarter, if it will help Aditya. Is it okay?
Yes.
Last quarter we are at 26 crores. Which I see this quarter we are at only 9 crores. 32 crores.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ghee production.
Ghee, okay.
Yeah. And with regard to the curd, we are at 189, we are at 279. So that's what the breakup of this. And the fat and fat products, we are at last year, we are at 13 crores. So we are at 9 crores only this quarter. That's why that 4 crores shortage of butter and ghee.
The 4 crore shortage came in terms of the butter and ghee, and overall number increase also helps in terms of value add milk caught on a little more faster, which will also give a slight difference in percentage. Otherwise, like we keep saying, we have grown on product to product on an absolute basis.
Got it. That was really helpful. Sir, subsequent to this, if you see our curd sales, it is just curd volume sales growth, it is around 3%. So is it that the pricing in curd have increased substantially versus any of the other value-added products? You mentioned that it has moved from 189 crores to 279, out of which only 3% would be volume. So remainder is pricing. Am I correct?
Repeat it once again, if you don't mind, Aditya.
Sir, the volume growth in curd, YOY, is 3%. And if you see the total revenue growth you just mentioned, it's around 47%. So is it fair to assume that around 40-44% was price hike in curd?
It's not only price hike, Aditya. Actually, what has happened is our volume also would have been higher. But because of this price increase and stagflation, if you take the number of packs per se, we have increased. But volume per pack has also come down. So it's a blend. I don't know how to say it. Maybe you can call it as a price increase
or per pack volume coming down. That is the reason why we will see. So effectively it is a price increase, but in terms of volume, we have also curtailed in terms of giving lower in each pack. So 200 ml curd pack has now come down to 150, 140 ml.
Got it, sir. And then lastly, from my side, what is the value-added percentage, a target value-added percentage where you'll be comfortable with? Right now, we are doing anywhere between 30 to 32%. So any ballpark numbers you have in mind that beyond
this percentage? Normally, I keep saying, sir, every year we try to increase by 1% and keep going with that as an overall, because we hope that our milk volumes also increase. Absolute numbers will be a little higher, but overall, we think of 1% growth rates.
Got it, sir. That was very helpful. Thanks a lot again, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Puneet Kabra from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, go ahead, Puneet.
Yeah, yeah. Sir, can you just repeat the answer you gave on Africa? What exactly is the license that created us limitation for growth?
In terms of, you want the specific per liter prices?
Sir? I mean, in our Africa business had negligible growth this quarter. So just to a previous participant, you had explained about the issue why we could not grow volumes in Africa. If you could just repeat that.
So basically, what happens is when we produce milk in Uganda and sell in Kenya, by law, they are not supposed to be any restrictions, but they have an underlying restriction of giving us something called permits, which allow us to move the vehicles into Kenya. Whenever there is a disproportionality of procurement and milk available in Kenya, they try to restrict the trade of milk coming in from Uganda. So that's how this happens on a seasonality basis. Only to overcome the seasonality, now we are building our own plant also in Kenya, that hopefully when we go in future and that starts operating, we will maintain equality in both.
Okay. And sir, my second question is, we had a higher tax rate in this quarter, but for the full year normalized, we can expect about 25% should be the normalized tax rate?
Last year we had more of deferred tax. So this time that benefit only, so we'll maintain the 25%, 26% tax rate.
Yeah. And so finally, in our opening remarks, we had mentioned about cash balance, which gives us opportunities for both organic and inorganic growth. But would it be fair that you would be at some stage looking to either do some dividend distribution or a buyback at least in this financial year?
If we don't find any opportunities coming up, we'll definitely look at, we have to look at the money coming back in what form, which is more effective, we'll be able to decide maybe, I guess, by end of December or so, sir.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
And we're looking at opportunities. If they pan out, we won't have the pressure. If not, then we'll have to look at opportunities, sir.
All right, sir. Thank you. Good luck, sir.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Pratik Kotari from Unique Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. So just a clarification, you mentioned in the beginning of the call that there has been some price drops which we have not passed on. So this is to the farmers or to our end customer?
To the farmers, so because in certain states like where there's commodity, where there's been an even more dramatic drop, we have not taken that price cut, keeping in view that the farmer's requirement and long-term relationship with the farmers.
Correct. And you also mentioned that going into the flush season, 3, 4, 5 months down the line, the prices would come down and we hope to pocket this difference. And we wouldn't be passing it on to the end.
Yes, sir. We have to wait and see. If they really come down a lot more, we will take the benefit of that also, sir. As it is, we get a good benefit in terms of better utilization and of our own milk increasing. Plus, we can get the benefit of prices if they come down more significantly, they come off.
Correct. So, and so from a gross margin perspective, I mean, what is our internal target or what is a steady state number that we work with?
I would rather try to keep what we are at this quarter as our steady state number, sir. I mean, because more of being, we say, instead of being more predictive, we rather wait and see when it comes to October and at that time. But I think we can confidently say these steady state numbers as we are now will continue without any issues.
Okay. And so my last question on this value-added products and fat, if you can bifurcate this 250 crores, how much of it is from the ghee curd, fat, etc.?
Murali will just give the bifurcation of the value-added products as product-wise or standalone in terms of India, sir. Go ahead, Murali.
Yeah. The total value-added products is 237 crores. Out of that, major junk is coming from 187 crores from the curd, 13 crores from ice cream, buttermilk 10 crores, and 6 crores from lassi. Sweets and paneer, etc., all those things, around 14 crores. And apart from this, we have a butter and ghee. Ghee is around 8 crores and butter is around 44 lakhs. These are all comes under the value added products.
Thank you and all the rest.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Jagveer Singh from Shade Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. I'm sorry, sir, I joined late. So my question is regarding the EBITDA margins. What kind of EBITDA margin we can see in the financial year by 24?
I think we can comfortably maintain what we are showing in the front the first quarter itself, and subject to the flush coming up, it can be beneficial or whatever. We'll have to wait and see. But we can definitely say that these kind of margins we'll maintain going forward.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Bharat Jainani from Money Control Pro. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good morning and congratulations for a great set of numbers. My question is more on the FY23, as you know, was a bit of a challenge as far as the RMC is concerned, given the increase in the procurement price. What is the kind of margins that you would like to maintain in the medium term, and what is the kind of revenue growth target that you have? Obviously, 23 there was an favorable impact on the realization as well. So, what is the kind of growth that you would like to maintain? So that would be my first part.
So I think we will maintain the current. We'll maintain our current year growth rates as we have been seeing, sir. We'll continue to maintain the same. And revenue growth of 15% is what we have maintained, I think, in this quarter. We will try to keep maintaining the revenue growth, and the EBITDA margins will continue to be what they are now. And there might be improvement if the flush becomes even better. We might get margins, but I'd rather be safer than sorry and say we'll maintain the same.
Right. Got it. So this last part, if you can give the this sales and the procurement, the realization and the procurement for the business in FY23, you gave the number for Q1 FY24, but I wanted the number for FY23. So what was the
Q1 of FY23 or for the whole year of FY23, sir?
Sir, for the whole year FY23.
What is the number for FY23?
Standalone it is 36.95, whereas we are standing in this quarter 39.62. In compare with control level, we are at 36.31. Now we are at 38.1.
And realization.
And so realization.
Realization is the FY23 NT total amount is 53.57 at a control level. We are at, for the Q1, we are at 56.40.
Okay.
Overall, for only for a standalone, it's 53.02 realization. If I see today, we are standing at this quarter 56.54.
Okay, so sir, for the console FY23 realization was 53.57 and quarter one is 56.4, and the procurement price for FY23 was 36.9, which is now 10.6 quarter one.
Could you repeat the last procurement number, sir? We were just cracking up a bit.
Okay, I give the realization number. So what was the procurement number for FY23? If I heard it, it's 36.9 in FY23. Now, 9.6 in quarter one, or how was it?
So 1 minute. So procurement in FY23 was
35.06,
and in FY24 was
38.19.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. Thanks and all of this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Ramesh from Smart Investment Solutions. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, thanks for the opportunity. So I have a question on this procurement flush, I mean, which is being talked very widely over newspapers and all. So what is your outlook on flush in the coming Q2 and Q3? Can you just give your thoughts on it?
Yeah, so I think flush for us is already, in terms of cow flush, which is already there, which starts in June, July, August will be there. And of course, October, November, December, when winters do come in, buffalo improves a little bit and we also get a little more of other areas of flush coming in for us. So what it means is that majorly I don't think we will see a tremendous upswing in terms of excessive surpluses, but we'll at least make sure that we don't run short and we'll have enough for our own requirements for this year and the next year commodity requirements for whatever shortages are there. So that's what we foresee, sir, and that we are very comfortable with that, and that's the reason we're saying we're very sure that the numbers will maintain status quo.
Okay, sir. And one more thing was quarter 1 FY23 versus quarter 1 FY24, your revenue growth, standalone revenue growth was around 16%. Is it because of Sri Krishna being acquired in March and quarter 1 Sri Krishna sales were not that great? Is it because of it or is it an organic volume growth?
Organic growth all over. Sri Krishna contributed very small amount to the overall number, but it is, I think the specific number of Sri Krishna contributing was only...
Sri Krishna, the gross margin is 23 crores in the current quarter. And previous quarter, it's only 19 crores.
So it's only a difference of 3-4 crores.
Only 3-4 crores.
And the last quarter, this year, it is only 12 crores. So, yeah, it's only 9 crores increase.
And the last one, so I'm seeing your investor presentation where you're saying you have procured 15.9 lakhs LPD and your sales is 11 lakhs LPD in a quarter, I mean liquid milk sale. So there is a gap of around 4-5 lakhs LPD. Is this, whatever milk you have, you convert into butter, I mean, other than curd sale, you convert into butter and SMP, or is there any other thing you do, sir?
No, that's it, sir. We basically sell majority as either our own milk products or whatever the 1-1.5 lakh surplus, we convert into SMP and fat.
Compared to Q4, are our means butter and SMP stocks increased, or is it at the standard level?
So it's a standard level, sir. It will increase maybe this quarter marginally, but otherwise standard level. And this quarter compared to last year to the same quarter, we'll have the same stock level. Either we would have bought or we make our own. We'll maintain the same.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Dhruvesh from Prosperotree. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So the typical difference in the price by Nandini and us in terms of sales today stands at 8 to 9 rupees or more.
Dhruvesh, sorry, I was just looking at the I had to switch phones. Could you repeat the question, please?
The typical difference in the price per liter in sales versus Nandini and, I mean, in comparison of Dodla to Nandini, will it be 10 rupees, 9 rupees approximately today?
Difference between sales and Dodla with all put together should be in the same 8 to 9 rupees difference, sir.
And sir, let's say if you give us some sense on what was this before 4-5 years when such kind of subsidization was not there.
No, it was, I think as long as memory goes for us, the subsidization has been there from almost 7, 8 to 10 years, sir. And we've been maintaining that same differential from that time. In fact, it has only expanded. I think the earlier days, the differential should be 3 or 4 rupees. Now it has moved to the 7 or 8.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Sarang Sanir from RW Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on great set number. Sir, could you please give some color on the domestic utilization kickoff and how you're expecting for the year? My second question is, what is the available cash balance?
Okay, so the first question was in terms of VAP, right, Sarang?
The domestic utilization.
Where, sir? First question was what, Sarang? Again, once again.
Domestic utilization.
Domestic realization, okay. Domestic realization for the consolidated standalone and cash balance, right? So I think Murli will answer both of them. 1 minute.
Murli, sir, utilization.
The realization for the Q1 as a standalone is per liter is 56.54, and the revenue is 762 crores. And with regard to the total cash and balances, as on date, we have 467 crores across all the consolidated levels. At the Dodla Dairy standalone India operations, it's 376 crores, and Orgafeed we have 1.7. And balance 30 crores in Singapore, Uganda around 52 crores, 5 crores in Kenya. This is the total cash balance we have.
Okay. So you had mentioned 75 to 80% capacity utilization in Uganda, right? And what would that be in India?
762 crores is in India only. In Uganda, it is 60 crores.
So, no.
Regard to the value.
The capacity utilization. 75 to 80% in Uganda. Right.
75 to 80% utilization.
Yes, yes. And what would that be in India?
Could you repeat the question again,
Sid? Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, go ahead. Could you repeat the question?
Yes, sir. So you had mentioned 75 to 80% capacity utilization in Uganda, right? And what would that be in India?
In capacity utilization in India, basically. 60 to 75%, because what happens is we also have, you know, the, what do you say, we'll have extra capacity for peak seasons and non-season. So that's why it will be around 60 to 75% in India.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rishikesh Oza from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So I have just one question. So regarding the input cost pressure, have you like passed on all the increase in the input cost, or is there some pass on still pending?
No, it's all passed on, sir. Because basically, whenever our price increase happens, normally we have the 15 days, 1 month time lag at the most. It's either passed on or we absorb and continue. Right? So as of today, it's all passed on, sir.
Even for the value added products?
Even for the value added products.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question of our question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I would like to thank all the investors who came on to the call today. I hope we had answered all your queries and requirements. If anything else is further required, we have our mail ID on our investor presentation, and you know, you can always write to that and we'll be more than happy to answer your questions. And thank you again once for all of you for joining for this call. Thank you very much and bye.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.